You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a good weekend, holiday weekend. Hope you enjoyed the family and had a chance to do some positive things with the family. And I hope you, and I know you, did it safely. Because that's the bottom line to this holiday season, is to be safe. Because we want you around in 2021 and beyond. So make sure you're wearing your mask. Make sure you're keeping your distance. Make sure you keep your hands clean. Got to do all the things that are necessary. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And we appreciate that from my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Fridays. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, on Sunday, it's time for an awakening. You got to have it because it's time for an awakening at 7 p.m. on Sundays with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Time for an awakening. That's right. That's what time it is. It's time for an awakening. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, they are trying to establish enough money to build a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. And I believe, at least I strongly believe, that this is not just Atlanta. This is other metropolitan areas where another sizable amount of our people are that need a supermarket in that area.
so we can have produce that is produced by us, American African farmers, products that are produced by us. Brothers and sisters, it's been, damn it, it's been time that we should do this, and you know it. So go to WeBuyBlack.com. Brother Bamani Tayemba is in Ghana. That's right, Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tayemba, he is in Ghana. At this time, he'll be back on the 5th. And other tours that are planned is Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th. And then Ghana again, May 24th through the June 4th. And then Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. Of 2021, Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Brother Renoko Rashidi, Brother Renoko has a trip planned. He's been doing a lot of Zoom. His upcoming trip is October 5th. Well, actually, he has one coming to Kemet before then, and the Kemetic trip is August 1st through the 14th is going to Kemet. August 1st through the 14th. And then the next trip is October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, and that's going to Uganda and Rwanda. Man, you ought to see the pictures that Brother Renoko has. It's just beautiful, man. Beautiful, you know. That's the thing. That's, you know, they keep these pictures of Africa looking like, you know what I mean, and I know you do. But man, it's not like that at all. And those of us who've been to Africa, those of us who dream of Africa, those of us who love Africa, understand what I'm talking about. Habesha, HabeshaIncorporated.org. The brothers and sisters at HabeshaIncorporated.org have been doing the work and deserve to be supported, particularly the work they're doing here locally with the Kashi Project. No, excuse me, with the Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the Golden Growers and the Urban Green Jobs. But they also have a project on the continent in Ghana, the Kashi Project. And the buildings are up. They're doing the work. Please go to the website, check them out, and they deserve to be supported. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics for Ujamaa. Land for the environmental development for Ujamaa, cooperative economics. And, of course, the Ledge deals with food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, the basics, necessities. They have 12 projects going on in 6 different countries and over 172 people being employed with over 260 members worldwide. Become a part of the Ledge Group. Go to ledgegroup.com and find out how you can be a part of what's going on. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, she's there. Give her a call if you are looking for books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and more. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Wadada Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, across the street from Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Fridays and Saturdays to the middle of next month. Fridays and Saturdays to the middle of next month. If you are celebrating Kwanzaa and you don't have those kanaras and candles, Mushumi Saba and Kakumbe Chayuma, that's right. Go to the shrine. You can get hooked up. You can get your Kwanzaa hooked up. Seriously. Go to the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Located in the West End, the address of the Shrine of the Black Madonna is 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End, 946. Give them a call at 404 949-8676. And of course, as I stated, they're open only on Friday and Saturday. But Wadada's is open every day. In fact, Wadada's had their Kwanzaa on the 26th, as well as I'm going to talk about Brother Gazimde Ajamu at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Thank you once again, my dear brother. I was the I did libation, and I hosted the MC. The host, of course, is Gazimde Ajamu. I did the MC of the Kwanzaa at the Black Dot, and it was outstanding. It was virtual in respect of the brother who did the entertainment, beautiful horn playing, and of course the keynote speaker was Baba Mwalimu Baruti, outstanding as always, spoke about unity and the first principle of Kwanzaa and how important Kwanzaa is. You know, had a nice good crowd, you know, not overly, and people were wearing masks, people were, you know, doing what's necessary. I know I had mines on, you know. And, you know, I'm up there in age, I was the oldest person in the room. But no, we had an esteemed elder in the room, and that was Brother Sajifo. You know, he had his wares out, Timbuktu. And if you don't know who Saj is, Saj is one of the best jewelry makers in this country. Many celebrities wear his jewelry. Saj is outstanding. He lives in Ellenwood, that's east of Atlanta, before you get to Lithonia. And his jewelry is beautiful. Does a lot with amber. I'm telling you, Timbuktu. I'm gonna try to go online, see if you got a website, and I'll broadcast that. Because Saj, if you are into jewelry, African jewelry, necklaces, and I mean, both of my rings, I have an Ankh and I have a Jemnyamye, and were made by him. You know, made by Saj and many of his disciples, as I call them. They're beautiful people, great people. Brother Main, back in Milwaukee, Manuel in Milwaukee. Yeah, that's right. And many other people. So I'm going to try to get that for you. So let's go now. I just did the Black Dot. So we got to go to Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast is this Thursday night, which, of course, will be New Year's Eve, whatever that means to somebody. You know, and especially at this time, it's probably better to be safe to spend New Year's Eve at home with just a small group of loved ones and so forth, if you want to go into that. But Blog Talk Radio, go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win. That is Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Their Thursday night broadcasts are from 9 to 10, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. But if you want to call in to listen, or you want to call in to ask a question or comment, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Sister Gabrielle Lilia of Sanjay Dash Haiti has sent me 50 pictures. Man, she's always sending me beautiful pictures of the students and the work they're doing, things that are how they're progressing. Truly, brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, SONJAY-IT.org. Sister Gabby has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And believe me, she deserves to be supported. Looking at those students in their uniforms, looking at the health care that is being provided, looking at the sustainable agriculture and the entrepreneurship, because, you know, they're canning stuff and jarring stuff and selling stuff. So it's beautiful, beautiful work in the northern portion, northeast portion of the island of Haiti. Akhaban Institute, Akhaban Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akhaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akhaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can go to Cash App or PayPal. On Cash App, it's the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make an ongoing payment to Akhaban Institute to support what Baba and Mama Yah are doing for our young people. And it is a blessing. And you and I both know it. And I know you do. I know you know it. I want to thank Baba Baruti. You know, he said it over the air. So all of you who are listening were witnesses. And, of course, he is a man of integrity and a man of his word. A man of his word. And so, thank you. See, I just got a text from Mama Yah. And thank you so much. Bibi Fohodie. That's right. I thank them because I received my Inye Sesem in the mail the other day. And so I'm ready for Friday with the new edition of the Inye Sesem, Volume 2. I tell you, I mean, you think this one, as soon as I got it, I couldn't wait to open it up and start paging through it and looking at who he's quoting and what the proverbs were, what his commentaries were, and just outstanding. So, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 27th. Uninformed men make unsafe leaders. Drusilla Dungy Houston. Before I read, I know you probably, if you listen to the program, you know I have an affection for, I don't have the book, of course, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Ush. The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire that Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote in 1926. In 1926, the same year that another man who I admire and respect, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, wrote, started Negro History Week. He started Negro History Week in 1926. Drusilla Dungy Houston came out with her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. But what she has is a quote, aside from this one right here, and which is pretty much an addendum to the quote I'm going to give you. And that is, she says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal. And she's saying this in 1926. She says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that not even Harvard or Yale, either cowardly and cowardly scholarship in our race, could dare not refute. She says, how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? What she's saying unequivocally is the same thing here. If you don't know the history, that's why our leadership has been so whack. Because from a historical context, they don't know. Al Sharpton don't know. Jesse didn't know. Dr. King didn't know. Malcolm knew. Because why? Malcolm knew because of Dr. John Henry Clark. When Malcolm debated, he was informed by Dr. John Henry Clark. That's why he kicked ass. He knew. If the leadership knows who we are and what we have done, and that leadership knows that what we are capable of and what we can do. So, Drusilla Dungy Houston, uninformed men make unsafe leaders. Very true. Warrior scholars, never ever commit treason against our ancestors. Never ever abandon our children to others' chaos. Never ever give up your power to our enemies. Never ever compromise truth. Never ever be without a liberating vision, a vision of tradition. Warrior scholars, always be true to the spirit of our ancestors. Always be African. Ashe. Affirm, I study us and our enemies. Affirm, I study us and our enemies. December 28th, home. Home represents a state of being in which the interpretations of reality that direct our actions are consistent with an African worldview perspective that itself is made increasingly more clear by a constantly developing knowledge of African cultural history. Mwalimu Shaje. If we are to be African warriors in every intent of the concept, if we are going to put forth the extraordinary time and energy necessary to re-Africanize ourselves and then again nation build, we must go back unto our ancestral spirit to retrieve and consciously participate in our way. We must choose to be even better than that which we have awakened to in ourselves and to bring every willing and able African along with us. To become this supreme example of Africanicity, we must make the time to seriously study the working traditions our ancestors engendered, finding the answers to the questions of why these particular thoughts and behaviors were best suited for maintaining a dynamic African sanity. If we are truly to be African, and not some menticidal artificial vision of it sustaining under European cultural domination, we cannot commit treason against our ancestors' way. For we are those whom we respect. We become them if the respect is enough. No matter what lies others may manufacture against us to alter our perceptions of the form of our original traditions, we must willingly allow the spirit of our ancestors to bind our practice of their way to us. Ashe. I'm finding and leading our way home. Affirm. I'm finding and leading our way home. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Brothers and sisters, it is truly a great day. And of course, I should have said it from the very beginning of the program. But of course, I got the usual open. So what I'm going to do next time, I'm going to try my best to remember to say, Abaragani. And of course, today is Ujima. Abaragani. Ujima. Collective work and responsibility. You know, today would be a good day. You know, I remember one day I cleaned out. And my kids helped me clean out that junk room I had in my house. You know, at least make it presentable, you know, gather some stuff up, that stuff everywhere. In fact, it was great. And I had a day bed, you know, had all kind of stuff on it, you know. So collective work and responsibility. So that's a good thing. Maybe the garage needs to be cleaned out today if the weather is accommodating. You know, maybe the basement, there's something that needs to be gathered up. And collective work and responsibility, you know. Or maybe it snowed in your area and as an act of Kwanzaa, collective work and responsibility, maybe you go shovel out some of the elders. You know, go shovel some of the elders' snow. You know, that's the beauty of Kwanzaa. To me, the Kwanzaa is a celebration, is a holiday that is necessary for us. Just like capitalism Christmas was truly necessary for capitalism, because without Christmas, you know, there are a lot of business that wouldn't be in existence. You know, Christmas makes it happen. So, you know, it is, Christmas is not a religious holiday that they want. Because number one, Jesus the Christ, if he ever existed, and he didn't, was not born on December 25th. And I explained that the last few programs, so I'm not going to go into it again. But the point is that Christmas is not a religious holiday. You want to make it that way. You want to say Jesus is the reason for the season. Fine. I mean, you know, if that's what you want to say, that's fine. But the reality is capitalism, money is the reason for the season. And the more, and which is ironic, I got some bills, I got my taxes. And so I'm saying to myself, damn, you know, at this time of year, people, you know, spending on Christmas, although I don't, but people be broke. And now you sending me these big ass bills, a big ass tax bill, a big ass electric bill. Man, I even had to argue with them folks about that. I don't perceive I'd used any more electricity before. And then in Milwaukee, for my property in Milwaukee, I got a big ass water bill. Oh, well, it happens. And you just have to deal with it. Okay. You just have to deal with it. This is Ujima, Collective Work and Responsibility. And so this is a Kwanzaa week. Although, I'm going to talk about Kwanzaa on Friday, but Friday is January 1st, and that is the birth date of Dr. John Henry Clark. So we are going to put some focus on Dr. John Henry Clark on Friday. I've paid tribute to many of the people who I have admired and respect, Dr. Bobby Wright, Dr. Amos Wilson. You know, these men and women who I have, Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing, who I, as I read them, as I listened to them, as I been fortunate enough to, I never seen a Dr. Amos Wilson in person, but I've seen everybody else in person, let alone listen to them on cassette tapes. That's right, on cassettes, on DVDs or on, YouTube. You want to listen to Amos Wilson and hear him? Go to YouTube. Dr. Bobby Wright? Mark? Yeah. Go to YouTube. In fact, I'm going to YouTube to pull some of the, just some small pieces of Dr. Clark for us for Friday. So if you want to pay homage to Dr. John Henry Clark, in fact, when I moved here to Atlanta, the 100th birthday of Dr. John Henry Clark, was the 15th, 2015. And we went to Columbus, Georgia, to his gravesite. And we had a memorial, Marimba Andy and many other people. In fact, it was an ASCAC gathering, which, of course, Dr. Clark was a founder of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. You know, so it was fitting and it was beautiful. I will never forget it. What I'm going to do? Oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you a piece that I just saw. Also, I'm going to read you, once again, I'm going to be pushing this, A Sovereigntist Interpretation of Ingusa Saba, because this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And so given that reality, you know, Kwanzaa is necessary, because at least Kwanzaa gets you to think about it. Maybe somebody during this Kwanzaa season put on a dashiki, put on a gele, wrapped their head around a gele, or put on a grand buba, or done something African, and maybe that African spirit in them awakened. I remember, like I said, when I got my name back in the 80s, when a sister who was part of the Yoruba community in Milwaukee, Nana Hochi, Mama Hochi, Nana Ho Chi moved here to Atlanta. In fact, I just saw Brother Mac Worthen, who was also a firefighter, like I'm a firefighter. And they moved here to Atlanta, and he perished here. And that's one thing that I remember of Nana Ho Chi, which is very, very important. He said, I have studied African cultures, many of them. Nowhere have I found homosexuality. Nowhere have I found homosexuality. In ancient Kemetic culture, you don't see homosexuality. If somebody pointed some damn homosexuality out to me in ancient Kemetic culture, or some Medu Netcher, or some temple writing or temple, to me, that's an influence of the Greeks. That is not from the dynasties. That is after the dynasties. That is the Ptolemies. If somebody points something out that to me, I'll argue that, because there was a complementarity of men and women together. And you've seen that. Wasn't like she was behind. She was right by the side. Yes, there were some who had many wives. We call them concubines or whatever you want to call them. I mean, you know, because I'm quite sure Queen Nefertari couldn't pump out 100 children that Ramesses II had by herself. She couldn't have done that. I'm almost certain of that. Pump out 100 children. Woo! But she was his queen. And that is memorialized. So, you know, she gave me my name at an African naming ceremony. She said, I see your work in the community and I have a name for you. Oshiemi Adelabu. Oshiemi means leadership that fits him. Adelabu means crown across great waters. I met a Nigerian sister. She told me how big my name is, in particularly Adelabu in Nigeria, you know. So I've been very proud of it, and started using it during the Kwanzaa celebration and during our festival. I had a proudly wore name tag, you know. But it was during a Kwanzaa that I realized that if I'm serious about being African and all that I wear, and, you know, because see, I've never stopped wearing African clothes. I remember I influenced the Black Firefighters Association, and I never forget at one of our events, many brothers and sisters wore African clothes. Yeah. Yeah. I never stopped. It wasn't a trend. It ain't about fashion. It is about who we are for me. And so I decided to go ahead and change my name. And at the time it was just right, because I have a friend. She was a paralegal. And all I needed to do was go get the papers from the legal age store, the legal forms, the legal form store, you know, name changing, and helped me fill it all out. I filed in myself. I think the whole situation probably cost me less than $100, I believe, you know, but it was done so long. In fact, 1992 was my year, was the year that my name was officially changed from Edward Brown to Oshiemi Adelabu. Yeah, what's funny is that the brother who's the chair of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, his name is Edward Brown. So we always laugh at each other about that. His name was Edward Brown. Brother Mwalimu Amstada. Brother Amstada. Yeah, Edward Brown. So, you know, that's why I believe. I mean, do I advocate name changes? Oh, hell no. I knew it was right for me to do. I felt it in my spirit. It was right for me to do. I don't advocate name changes because there are people who have gotten and been given beautiful names, names with profound meaning and time, who do heinous things. I don't advocate name changes. Just because you change your name, that means that doesn't mean that you're going to change your behavior and your mindset. People have been given great names, but yet they do just terrible things. So it's not about a name change. It's about a mind change. Because once your mind is right, everything else will fall into place. Once your mind is right. The bottom line, you've heard the term the end game. What is the end game? And to me, if our end game is not independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, then I don't know what our end game is. If that ain't it, if it ain't sovereignty for African people, then somebody help me, rescue me if I'm wrong. Remember, Ani gave us a sovereignty interpretation of the Nguza Saba. A sovereignty interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and constructing an African world order. That's what Umoja means. Unity, a Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world. That's what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about. Uniting Africa. That's our home. Dr. John Henry Clark has said that consistently. That is our heartbeat. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Self-determination. I took self-determination literally. Name ourselves. Speak for ourselves. I took it literally. Anybody in my family join me? No. I've talked to them. I am who I am. Don't nobody mess with me. I bet you that. I bet you that. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability towards each other. Us working together, not dissing one another, not spewing discord and hatred and venom, but working together and accepting a common system of accountability, pulling your weight, doing what is right. Ujamaa, familyhood, creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and a community, national and global African unity. Brothers and sisters, the potential for us is so dynamic and so beautiful. Only if we can get ourselves up out of this muck and mire, out of this European mindset, out of the clutches that Europeans have on us. Remember, I've always said that the European has a vice grip on our minds. If we understand that too, once you set the vice grip, bam, you can't pull it apart. It's set. And that's what the European hopes, that it stays that way. But no, there's a knob at the end of the handle. Turning that knob loosens the tension of the vice grip. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. Starting to feel good about who you are. Who you are historically. Who you are culturally. And to the point that you feel so good and so strong that bam, you open the vice grip and you see the European, the Urugu for who and what he is. Ah, but you don't challenge him. Nothing can change that. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from white fragility. They suffer from hegemony. They're evil people. They're evil people. I know it's the holiday time, and it's many people in that Christmas spirit is peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. What a damn joke. No, African people must be sovereign. Once African people must be sovereign, and us controlling the continent, not Chinese, not Koreans, not Indians, not Europeans, nobody, not Arabs, nobody but on the continent, Africans. No, I may not see it. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. I understand that. And even if I expire tomorrow or make my transition tomorrow, I would try my best to say to you, this is a noble fight for us. The liberation and self-determination of African people. That's why this sovereignty vision is important. NIA. Purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and our guide our choices and decisions. This gives sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we have chosen to be born African. Who was that who said that? I'm glad God made me a black man. No, man. Oh, she. I can't remember who that was. But if you can remember who that was, God made me, but I'm glad God made me a black man. Now, you know I'm not into the color kind of thing, you know, because I think the color situation has been used as another dividing tool against us, because there are many people who are black who love being black but don't want to be African. In fact, they despise African because they love black. Because in Caucasian and white society, you know, black is admired. Black is imitated. Black is co-opted. Always has been. You know, it's kind of funny when you look at some of the people who passed. Little Richard, you know. But all of them, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, all of those entertainers, you know, they couldn't get on the radio unless we had a radio station. But a lot of their music was co-opted by Pat Boone and Perry Como and whatever, you know. Our purpose, brothers and sisters, our NIA, this gives sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we have chosen to be African. Kumba. Creativity, to think with African minds and to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We find and return to our own way, the way of our ancestors. I remember talking with some Christians, and of course, Christians, you know, believe that you're dead and that, you know, I mean, this is deep because American African Christians, you know, who are steeped into it, they follow the dictates of Europeans who are Christians, who are Catholic, who are Protestants, and in that Protestant denominational piece, Baptists, Methodists, Lutheran, and I could go on. There's so many. You know, even some of the other lesser, like Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, and so forth. And I know that many people who have grown up in these particular families with these particular ideologies or theologies, you know, they hold true to them, unfortunately, you know. But, you know, they're totally against ancestor worship. You know, they're totally against having a shrine in your home. Some are even saying to even burn sage is demonic. You know, if you're burning sage, it's demonic. So, but we must return to the ways of our ancestors. Our ancestors from the beginning, not our ancestors who we've seen struggle here in this country. Who have we seen degraded and dehumanized? We love them, but we want to return to our ancestors prior to our captivity. We want to return to the ancestors of those who built great civilizations, contemporary of Ghana, Mali, and Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, or classical Kemet, Kush, Timari, Punt. We want to turn to the ways of our ancestors and greatness. You know, when I used to tell people about the ancient committee, I remember having this, I did a presentation, and this Caucasian woman came up to me. Did you really think that you got, lady? Because I was talking about ancient Kemet and what we had done. And of course, you know, she believes just like, you know, even though Dr. Sheikh Anshaja Jop did an outstanding job, Dr. Jop did an outstanding job of at that symposium in 74 presenting our case Kemet, or what the Greeks called Egypt, being African. He won the debate, and the smoking gun was the melanin dosage test. He extracted melanin from the mummies and proving that they were African. And see, to me, that's bona fide, that's a fact, and that should end the damn debate. But still today, when you, today, 2021, when you go to National Geographic, the Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, still today, if they have ancient Kemet and they show somebody, you know, who is in control, they're going to look Caucasian or Indian or Arab. But if they show somebody serving somebody, they're going to look African. Because what does society, regardless of what Dr. Jop was able to do, further putting into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a servant. And the belief in the biblical Ham that we're cursed. Do you believe we are cursed? Oh, hell no. We ain't cursed. Hey, when I saw that piece on Farrakhan, that really kind of hurt me. You know, kind of, I said kind of. Because I had an already inclination about Minister Farrakhan to begin with. There's some admiration for him. But when he came out with that, we're cursed to be black. No, we're not. Get your ass out that Bible and get into some history. We're not cursed. That's right, faith, Imani. To believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will, the heart, to bring it into being, the will. Marcus Garvey said, up you mighty race, you can accomplish what you will. It is the will. When I end the program with Bibi Fahorie, our victorious destiny, we will be victorious. Will. Do we have the will, the strength, the fortitude to purge ourselves of this ignorance, to purge ourselves of all of this stupidity, to purge ourselves of all the things that have binded us to a system of denial of self? Do we have the will? Well, man, time is flying. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play Kuji Chakalia, because yesterday was Kuji Chakalia. And then I'm going to play Ujima, because that's what today is. Ujima. So, brothers and sisters, here is Kwame and Shavinduka, the Seven Principles. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Abara Ghani. That's right, Ujima. Isn't that a beautiful song? Doesn't that sister have a beautiful voice? Oh, I can't wait till Imani. It's a beautiful song. Gosh, it's fantastic. That is Shavinduka. Kwame and Shavinduka, beautiful couple, beautiful family out of Chicago. Man, I tell you, the Seven Prince. But that was made back in the 90s. Back in the 90s. There's a couple of, I was trying to find, the only two Kwanzas that I have here on virtual. One is Brother Lusk, and appreciate always times, appreciate Brother Lusk, Theodore Lusk, and he sent me this one. This is in Tuskegee, Alabama. Their Kwanzaa, it is every day, and in fact, a councilwoman, Norma Jackson, presented on Umoja, and yesterday, Sister Candace Clark, and today is Josie Kemanosa, Mosa. Tomorrow, Dr. Shiar. And then Ania, Mother Barbara Baker. And then Ankumba, Dwale Jia. And then Imani Faith, Reverend Dr. Chakanet, and Dr. Cecil Gray. And the
Zoom, go, if you have Zoom, you know, put in the code and the password. And the note in bold is that the password is case sensitive. The code is 816-1746-3500. The ID is 816-1746-3500. And the password, the passcode, lowercase e, the number 3, uppercase z, uppercase s, uppercase k, lowercase e, and the number 2. I repeat, lowercase e, the number 3, uppercase z, uppercase s, uppercase k, lowercase e, and the number 2. And that is the Kwanzaa presentations that are happening in Tuskegee, Alabama. Appreciate that, dear brother. And Brother Mickey Dean, who I've had here on as a guest, and they're having Kwanzaa too every day. And the National Black United Front of Kansas, I told you, Kansas City, National Black United Front is a mother. It's beautiful. They are great people, and I love them. I love them. And their Kwanzaa is every day. And they have a little synopsis here on what's happening each day, you know. In fact, today is Ujima. The host for this event will be the Westmoreland, Virginia chapter of the National Black United Front. Oh, that's great. They got other chapters involved. That's beautiful. The Westmoreland chapter was formed 4 years ago by a former members of the D.C. chapter. The evening's program will consist of presentations from local organizers on their community work and will include a divine message from Babalawo, an Ifa priest. That is beautiful. And so he has other days that are happening and people who are doing stuff. And so if you want to, and it starts at 7 Central, so that's 8 o'clock our time. And the event is, this is all lowercase, T-W-I-T-C-H. That's T-W-I-T-C-H dot TV / M-B-U-F-K-C. That's MBUF KC, MBUF Kansas City. Once again, I'm going to give it to you. All lowercase, TWITCH dot TV / MBUF KC. There's a phone number here if you want to use that. And of course, you can go, that's his email address. The phone number is 816-866-3025. That's 816-866-3025. Kwanzaas that are happening around. And I wish I had more, because I'm quite sure I know there's many more. I did, Sister Nabantu, I did check, you know, that's right, Kansas City and Tuskegee, Alabama. I gave those two out. That's right. And I did check with the KwanzaaAssociation.org for virtual Kwanzaas. And unfortunately, Ori had passed. So thank you, Mama Nabantu. And of course, Mama Nabantu, if you want to say a little something, something, please. I think it's, I don't know if I got to get it right. It's either a star or pound, but I'll find out. You know, it's hit pound or hit star. And, but I appreciate you. All right.
Does that work?
Ah, that's right, Mama Nabantu. So what did you hit?
I hit star twice.
You hit star twice. So that's what it is. So now I know. Thank you, Mama Nabantu, for doing that for me. Abaragani.
Jam Abaragani Ujima is bird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to say that in terms of changing your name, when I changed my name, there was no cost. That was back in 71. But soon after that, I mean, all you had to do was show that you had changed your driver's license to your new name, your property to your new name, your Social Security to your new name, but there was no cost for any of that.
Right.
But then short of that, when a whole bunch of us started changing our names, then they said we had to go to court and pay.
Right. That's right. Because I had to go to court. And, of course, the only thing he asked me, why are you changing your name? You trying to elude creditors? I ain't trying to elude no damn body. No, I'm changing my name because of a personal reason. I'm changing my name because I believe it's right. And so I can say I know that changing your name then when I had it done, was if I had attorneys and so forth, would have bought about $400-$500.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So mm-hmm. imagine what it is today. You know,
I'm not sure, but you know, brother Imhotep, he is for free.
Right.
He will help people fill out the forms and everything.
Right.
But, you know, you have to pay the court costs.
Right.
But he would help you get it done.
That's right. Brother right. Imhotep, a brother who's an attorney here in the Atlanta area. If you want to change your name, he'll help you with the paperwork, just like that sister helped me. She was a paralegal. She helped me with the paperwork, so therefore it didn't cost as much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me also add, when you go to KwanzaAssociation.org, you have to scroll down, and you can, in small letters, says more events. And you have to click on that to get the other events. And then it may be another one after more events, so you can stay up to date to what's going on each day.
Okay. Yeah, because I went on and I saw the previous things that already have passed, unfortunately. Okay. And of course, I made an announcement about the Tuskegee Kwanzaa that's going on, and I gave information on that. And of course, the Kansas City, my good friend, Brother Mickey Dean, who has been on this program a number of times. And of course, the good work that the Kansas City chapter of National Black United Front has done and consistently does, you know.
Right. Yeah. You look forward to that. Yeah, I will add it to our website, and folks can go on there and check it out.
Yeah, and in fact, he listened to the Pan African Federalist conference. I had invited him because he was on. He was on with me prior to that, and I'm not sure if he's joined yet, but I'm gonna find out. You know, to me, everybody should join the Pan African Federalist movement. You know.
Yeah. Leonard Jeff. And he's going to contact all the organizations that he knows of to participate and join, join with the movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movement is real, and the time has come that Africa needs to be liberated. Africa needs to be under the control of Africans. You know,
right.
You know, and I ain't talking about African Americans. I ain't talking about damn Negroes. I ain't talking about what happened back in when the Negroes went over to Liberia. You know, now I ain't talking about no stuff like that. I'm talking about Africans who have the right mind, who want to help with other Africans, who make no distinctions between Africans anywhere. We are all Africans. There's no distinction because you're from the Caribbean or you're from the motherland or you're from Chicago or Atlanta or in your case, the Bay Area.
Right. And let me add one more thing. Even though some of those Kwanzaa events have already taken place, because they were virtual, you can still listen to them. They're still, because they were all recorded.
Oh, outstanding.
They had a great one last night from Washington, D.C., and Amadou Seck, the vice chair for the International Pan-African Federalist Movement, spoke. It was very good. So you can always go and click on those. And most of them are through Facebook. Some of them are through YouTube. And you can learn about other Kwanzaas that are taking place and the speakers and information that you may not have in your local area.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Mama Nabantu. I appreciate that. Because, I mean, you know, for some of us, you know, it is because of the pandemic. But because of the pandemic, the opportunity to see Kwanzaa presentations around this country is tremendous, you know?
Right. We have California on there. We have Chicago on there.
Yeah.
We have Washington, D.C. be on there. And right now I'm trying to locate New Orleans because they have some things going on too. But if folks can actually go to that website and add any Kwanzaa they know about themselves.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
All right.
And so now I know too, it's star, hit star twice and you can get in.
Right. That's how
in fact, let me apologize to you many times, but I want to apologize to you over the airways. Okay, Mama Nabantu?
No problem.
Okay, dear. All right. Yeah. It's a beautiful sister. It's a beautiful woman. Appreciate Mama Nabantu. She had good information. She knew Mama McKenna. And she could have added a lot of good information to the program that Sister Akina had and presented. And so I can't wait till next year when we once again talk about the creation of Kwanzaa, the history of Kwanzaa, the importance of Kwanzaa, and so forth. So we have additional information coming, always. It's always learn something new. Appreciate it. This I caught, this came over, and this is News One. And, of course, News One is a... that's Kathy Hughes. At least I think it's still Kathy Hughes News One. I don't know. But there's a piece on Kwanzaa. People celebrating Kwanzaa celebrate the first day of the annual holiday observance by lighting the first candle in the name of Umoja, which means unity. However, if you're not fully aware of the origins of Kwanzaa, that's okay, because they got you covered. I guess they do. Here's a quick snapshot of the history, legacy, and the true meaning of the American African holiday of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa was born of the African Liberation Movement of the 60s. Dr. Malana Karinga, the co-founder of the organization US, developed a seven-day holiday to align with the organization's principles of the Nguza Saba and to promote its philosophy of reaffirming and restoring the best of African thought and practice. Its name is derived from the phrase Matunda ya Kwanzaa, which means first fruits. The second A was supposedly added to the holiday spelling to create symmetry between the word length and the number of principles. Kwanzaa is not a religious ceremony, Kwanzaa is not a religious ceremony. It is not a commercial ceremony. It is a cultural inclusion. Kwanzaa is culturally inclusive. Ingraining in a major theme, the language of Kwanzaa, which is Kiswahili, was chosen because it is widespread across the mother continent and has a lack of tribal association. That's why there has been and it should be a consistent promotion of Kiswahili being taught around the continent. I know the biggest push at this time on the continent is Mandarin Chinese. It is okay to speak Mandarin Chinese, but we should have a language of ourselves so that when we come together, we can speak our language and those who are outside of us don't know what the hell we're talking about, and I don't give a damn. Chinese. No, Kiswahili should be a language that is taught and spoken so all the other languages of Tri, Fanti, whatever, could also be spoken within that group. But when we talk to each other continent-wide, it should be Kiswahili. Kwanzaa is now celebrated by millions around the world, though no accepted survey has been conducted. Estimates range from approximately 5 million to as many as 30 million. Well, there's a billion of us. So even at that, if it's just 5 and 30 million, you could see if there's a billion of us, that's minuscule. So, you know, but I'm thankful for everyone that does. I'm thankful for the many who in this country do practice and promote Kwanzaa. Dr. Malana Karinga and his wife have presided over hundreds of ceremonies, Kwanzaa ceremonies. While there is not much formalization of how the week is spent, It is centralized by the principles, Umoja, Kujichagulia, Ujima, Ujamaa, Nia, Kumba, and creativity. Each given a dedicated day, and candle lighting begins each day from December 26th to January 1st. A kanara or candle holder with seven candles, one black, the first candle to be lit, represents the people. Three red to represent the struggle, and three green to represent the prosperity. So many people say things that are different to represent the people and represent the land and so forth. You know, placed upon a mat and an African cloth, some kente or whatever, and flanked with at least 2 ears of corn to represent the communal harvest tradition, and a unity cup from which to pour libation are the only symbolic requirements. No gifts necessary, but they do give zawadi. No gifts are necessary, but zawadi for children. Or you can give a Kwanzaa gift to a loved one. You can do that. It's a Kwanzaa gift. It's zawadi, you know. But one of the main focuses is that, you know, we want Kwanzaa to be a culture of celebration. And we don't want Kwanzaa to induce hardship, financial hardships on anybody, you know. So, no gift. But it is recommended that the final day is a sober meditation, asking, who am I? Am I really who I say I am? And am I all I ought to be? Yeah, that's Milana's quote. I remember, who am I? Who am I? Asking that question, who am I? Am I really who I am? And am I all I ought to be? You say that in the context of being in this environment. That poses a deep question, doesn't it? Who am I? Am I really who I am? Because you are impacted consistently by this environment. You are impacted by and bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of your Africanness or anti-Africanness. And so how can I be all I ought to be in this environment? I know and you know there are many brothers and sisters who have been successful in the context of this environment. They are doctors. They are lawyers. They are politicians. They are ministers. They're within the context of the environment. But has that translated? Has that translated to us being African and being self-determining? Has that translated with us? As a group, it's just like the brothers and sisters who are millionaires, who are millionaires, multimillionaires. Is our condition any better because of their multimillionaires? Considering most of us may be in the midst of an even more disturbing year with our current president. He's on the way out. There are necessary questions to ask for ourselves and for our community. This must have been written some time ago, you know. Celebrities who celebrate Kwanzaa. Okay, that's good. Oh, that's nice. So that was the article, Happy Kwanzaa. That was TV One. I don't see a date on it. I'm trying to find a date on it. It's updated to the 24th, 2020. So they don't give original data to the article when it first came out, but it was updated. And it was written by one of the News One staff. News One, we appreciate that, News One. You know. Kwanzaa. So, if one wants to talk about Kwanzaa, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And, or if you know of a Kwanzaa that is happening virtually and you want to get that information out to us, please do so. Give us a call with the information. If you want to text, you can text me at my number at 414-324-5796. 414-324-5796. You know, I'm always willing to, that's what this program is about, to share information, get information out there, you know, to make it happen, you know. But one thing about the Kwanzaa celebration that I want us to understand, Kwanzaa celebration, that's why Mama Marimba's revised or sovereign interpretation of the Nguzo Saba is so important, because we want and we truly need for the Kwanzaa celebration to transform us into African men and women that have love for one another, respect for one another, and are willing to do the things necessary to move us forward, to move us to a new day. In fact, I haven't played this in a while, so I'm going to play this, because to me, this is necessary. This is vital. This is vitally important. And we must always remember, this is our goal.
We have a buying power of $1.2 trillion. But what are we doing with it? The Regional Coordinating Committee for the Pan-African Federalist Movement in North America invites you to the North American Pan-African...
Sorry, not that one, but this one.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation, to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now. In fact, as the saying goes, it's been time. And that's what we must do. We must come together. It is the only way. There is no, you know, if you want to believe in divine intervention, if you want to believe in luck or hope and praying and, you know, that's you. I want to believe in the will of African people. I want to believe in African people throwing the shackles off our minds and embracing the love of self and each other, and the willingness to share with one another and to work with one another and to build with one another. That's what I want to believe in. That's what I put my faith in. In the wisdom of our ancestors, in the right African way, the African way. The continent needs us, and we need the continent. Africans in the diaspora, for those of us who have levels of expertise to go to Africa and work with Africans and learn and teach and learn and teach and to share what I mentioned earlier in the program about the Africans who came there to Liberia and the attitude that they have coming from America, causing great friction and division amongst the Africans in Liberia to this very day, to this very day. No, we're not coming with some attitude of superiority or the fact that we've been, you know, heavily influenced by Caucasians, by the Yorugu, that we're coming. No, we're not coming with anything better if that is our mindset. In fact, we're coming with the worst intent. Our best intent is we're coming to learn. We're coming to re-Africanize ourselves. We're coming to connect. We're coming to work and to build. Africa needs infrastructure. Africa needs infrastructure. And I know there are probably people on this line who have been to Africa, and they know what I'm saying is true. I have not been all over Africa. And I've seen beautiful pictures. I've seen the pictures from South Africa, which of course, on the South Africa tip, in Namibia, because they're still pretty much controlled by Europeans, sadly. But Rwanda, beautiful pictures of Rwanda and Uganda. You know, I've seen beautiful pictures of other parts of Africa. Tanzania, where Brother Bomani Tayemba just left, and now he's in Ghana. I've been to Ghana many times. And if you've been to Ghana, I'm quite sure many of you are listening. Because Ghana is a good place. Ghana is a good place to go. In fact, I've always said that if you wanted to visit Africa and get a real flavor and a real feeling, Ghana would be the first place to go. And if I'm wrong, tell me different. Ghana would be the first place to go, because you have a chance to experience it and see it. Africa from its time beginnings to modern times. But the infrastructure in Ghana, you know, when they're still having blackouts. I mean, I've been going to Ghana since the 90s, and like, wow, I said, damn. They're still having these same problems. And yet they found oil since then. And of course, the mineral wealth of Ghana, the gold of Ghana. And so to me, that should not benefit an individual, a particular family, a particular, quote, tribe. It should benefit the people of Ghana. And what needs... And the benefit for the people of Ghana is infrastructure, highways, roads, water systems, energy systems. Yes, I know you've seen some oil, but oil is a problem. Oil is problematic to the future of the planet. You need solar. You need wind. You need energy systems that are clean and consistent. You know, if you're still driving down a main road, you know, like in Accra, and there's pavement, next thing you know, you know, and this happens, you know, and it happens. I mean, some of them roads are so bad, your car is going to be whacked. I bet you they do a lot of front-end alignments. A lot of work on them cars, because, man, when I first went to Moli Park up here in Tamale, took a plane to Tamale from Accra. And because from Tamale to Moli Park is a few hours. Cut much shorter because of the new highway that was built by the Chinese. I think I don't know if you heard me mention this, but they built another resort The Moli Park Resort is what it is. But the Chinese, and you could see it in a higher road, they built another resort for themselves. I'm not sure if it's open to the public. I don't know. But I've seen it from that distance from Moli Park. And, you know, so they built that road. And I remember when I first went to Moli Park and how that road was. You know how when you're at the airport or a critical stop and you've been going at a decent speed and they'll have the bump, the corrugated, blah, 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 the corrugated bumps, you know, to let you know to slow down, to stop ahead or whatever. Imagine traveling a few hours on something like that consistently. In fact, one of my good brothers, Brother Douglas, retired Ghanaian firefighter, he got us a car from a friend of his who was a doctor, and it was a Toyota big car, you know, like a SUV. And we had to tighten up the door hinges because the vibration is constant, you know, so constant. And, of course, we made it to Moli Park. And, man, I tell you. But that's real. It's real. You know? It's just like infrastructure is badly needed across the planet. You know, I mean, as a human being, you would love that humanity would have some commitment to humanity. You know, you would love that the United Nations was a real body to deal with the issues that affect human beings on the planet. You know, I might as years ago romanticize about, yes, we're one family, just like they do around Christmas time. You know, goodwill towards all men and all that bull. You know, but the reality is because the European, who is selfish and greedy, and does not want to share, has dominated the planet. There is no way impossible that human beings can come together and manage the planet and not try to exploit it and destroy it. The exploiter and destroyer of the planet is Europeans. They're the ones that promoted the oil industry. I mean, even when Jimmy Carter, on his way out of the White House, had put solar panels on the White House. On his way out, the first thing Ronald Reagan did was take those solar panels down. I often say to Ronald Reagan, I mean, I don't give a damn about what anybody else, this is me. Somebody told me Ronald Reagan was one of the best presidents and began to try to explain that to me in terms of economics or some other thing. I could care less. All I know is Ronald Reagan's one of the worst presidents because why? The economics of this country exacerbated the problems and the divisions of people who have and those who have not. It widened them. That was under Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. Look at the country, look at the world today. Look at the individuals who have amassed billions of dollars. Billions. And this is a rising tide lifts all boats. And I understand that some of the people who have savings in the hundreds of thousands and maybe even a million, they feel good about that. I can imagine they do. Yes. You know? But one of the things that is important to understand is that if there's a system that Europeans created, who is it going to benefit? When they created it, what was their design? And who was it going to benefit? Exactly. You can play along, but exactly. So, didn't get very many callers. I want to thank Mama Nabantu. I want to thank all those who do call. I know some who call and just want to listen, and I appreciate that. I thank you for that. I know that today is for me some collective work and responsibility, getting my grandson over here and to help me clean up. That's right. Not the oldest one, the young one. Get him over here so he can do these chores I've been asking him to do. I tell you, you know, kids today, I don't know. Well, you know, I like to talk about that because it is different. And even though my young grandson, he has an understanding, you know, but he's caught up in the sports. He loves basketball. You know, he wants to be a basketball player. He puts energy into that. And he's a good player. He is. He's a good player. And because of that, my concept and idea is that would help him get into a college or university where the cost of college and university is constantly going up to the point of not being affordable to a lot of people. It is already that. Even if it's a state college, let alone a private institution. So yeah, get him over here to do some Ujima, collective work and responsibility. That's right. And some other things I'm going to have my young man do for me, you know. And then tomorrow, I'll take him to support a business that is ours, like I do all the time anyway. You know, that's the thing about the Kwanzaa, you know. Yes, it's great to do it this time of year. It's great to do it from December 26th to January 1st. It is great to do it. It is great to observe it. It's great to participate. It's great to all. But it should be done every day of the year. You should seek out businesses. You should work with one another. You should believe in one another. You should know that your purpose is to work with one another and your faith in each other. That's why I constantly push and promote the Kwanzaa celebration as an act of liberation for African people. It is. Yes, it is. So, like I said, Friday, Nia, I'm going to talk, of course, I'm going to talk about Nia. No, Imani, excuse me, brother, sisters, Imani, and the faith that we should have in ourselves and our faith in each other and the different faiths that we do have in the theologies and how that can happen. But I also want to talk about Dr. John Henry Clark. It is his birthday. It is his 105th birthday. He would have been 105 years old this Friday. And he is one of my, you know, I used to listen to Dr. Clark. I had a car that had a cassette on cassette. And, you know, there was one time I heard him talk about when the Caucasian man told him, you know, when Dr. Clark did not see us in the Sunday school lessons. And Dr. Clark asked him, he said, well, where are we? And the Caucasian said to him, I'm sorry, John, your people have no history. And the way Dr. Clark said that, I felt him. I felt as he would have felt at that time. Sorry, John, your people have no history. And of course, yeah. Dr. Clark went on a journey, just like it says in the Hadith, in the sayings of Prophet Muhammad. They who put their foot, I say they, it says he in the Hadith, it says he. But I say they, because men and women learn, we are together. They who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge. They go in the way of God until they return. And that's what Dr. John Henry Clark did. He set his foot on the path to seeking knowledge. And God inspired him. God motivated him. God led him all the way to led him all the way to New York. To Arthur Schomburg, Arturo Schomburg, and the Schomburg Museum. And if you hear Dr. Clark talk about it, he goes in there, storms it. I want all the history of black people right here and forth, henceforth and right now. I want all that history. And Dr. Clark became a part of the Harlem History Club and all the things about the history of African people. Great men, some women that inspired Dr. Clark. And truly, Dr. Clark has inspired many others. Marimba Ani, my dear friend, and her Bible. That's why I said it. Urugu is the Bible to me. I've read that many times, especially that piece on the religion and why the European has to feel his religion. Christianity has to be factual, has to be historical. But many others that Dr. Clark has motivated and inspired, myself included, myself. And I know he continues to do so. So he deserves the honor and the recognition. And we're going to do that on Friday. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it is a beautiful day. Wherever you are, enjoy this day of Ujima. Participate in the Kwanzaa if it's available. Go online. Just as Mama Nabantu said, go to YouTube. Put in some Kwanzaa. It might be some good programs. I know I used to enjoy the Kwanzaa presentations from Milwaukee when I was there. Brother Claiborne Benson, keeping Kwanzaa alive at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. I love them. I remember when I first moved here, I saw those, man. It was just heartwarming. Go out and enjoy it. Have a blessed day, brothers and sisters. Shem Hotep. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.